Welcome to the Stanley Street Social Podcast, presented by MAP. We are here in Ballarat today for the Road Nats preview. I'm here with Matthew Keenan. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you. Good to be on the Stanley Street Social Podcast. I've got the T-shirt. We get to run every now and then when I play tennis. It's good to be on the podcast.
So I was turned into your sports shirt, your sweatshirt.
Yeah, so I haven't respected it enough, have I? I sweat in it.
No, that's a going out top. And Amanda Spratt, welcome, Amanda.
Yeah, thanks. Huge fan.
First time on the podcast.
Yeah,
huge fan. I heard we got the follow back before.
Yeah, excited about it.
Okay, very good. So we're going to talk about the men's and the females road race with special insight from Amanda today on Sunday. And I guess how it's going to play out, who our favourites are. It was stinking hot today in Ballarat.
It was for the Criterium. What I'm interested in, firstly, from you, Amanda, is with the Criterium being on the Friday, as opposed to the Wednesday, which it has traditionally been, and then the road race on the Sunday, how did that change the way you and your team approached the Criterium today?
To be honest, it didn't really change much the way that we approached it. If anything, it's a good hit out, especially for girls like Jess Allen and Sarah Roy from my team that haven't raced pretty much since the World Championships. For me, I've just done the Bay Crits, so it was a little bit different. It was sort of day four of racing, but it's still an Australian title and we really wanted to win it. So we weren't really thinking about the fact that we still have Sunday to go. It was all in for tonight.
What did you make of the fact that Shannon Molsey, the defending champion of Ballarat Local, didn't ride the Criterium?
Yeah, that's an interesting call. I mean, I just was a teammate of hers actually in the Lexus of Blackburn team for the Bay Crits. And she skipped the last one, and was going to race the crit tonight and then do the road race. So I'm not sure if there's some residual fatigue there or if she's just freshening up a bit. But I saw she's in good shape at the Bay Crits, so I expect big things from her.
Do you put your cards on the table a lot in the Bay Crits, particularly day one with that solo victory?
Maybe, yeah, but I also think I had a really great season last year in 2018, so I think anyway I go into the Australian summer as a favourite just because of the results that I had. So in some ways I think, okay, maybe there's more of a target on my back, but there was already a big target there.
Yeah, fair to say, Alex, when you're the silver medalist at the World Championships and a dual winner, you just might get marked throughout the race.
Especially with a bunch of ambitious Australians looking at, I guess, one of their idols now. You're a bit of a target today. But, Kenno, what was your take on the crits as a whole?
The performance by Rebecca Wysak was outstanding. She can't win the road race. She can win the time trial. And now that she's been dropped from the track program, she wants to go to the Tokyo Olympics, so she has to do it on the road. She has to prove herself in the time trial. And the way that she rode the Criterium today, she was either at the back or at the front. She doesn't seem to like the middle of the peloton, Spratty.
No. And I think you're right. She's probably a little bit hesitant, I think, in the bunch. But she's such a strong rider. She can do that. She can get away with it. And she had no teammates out there. I think she played it great. And we didn't expect her actually to dive bomb that last corner. And just impressive to come out of that corner and just hold that power all the way to the finish line and still have that gap. It was super impressive.
And your teammate, Sarah Roy, was in second position. Was there anybody that maybe we didn't notice from the comfortable side of the fence that impressed you?
I think Peter Mullins is showing that she's getting better and better, I think, with every race so far. We saw in the Bay Crits and also today. Loretta Hansen as well, she was quite aggressive today and I thought she maybe would have backed herself more for the sprint at the end, but she's showing that she's in good form and she's motivated. She just joined Trek Segafredo, which is an amazing opportunity for her, so I think she's come into January really motivated.
And what about Tiff Cromwell?
Yeah, Tiff's... I don't think she's targeting the Australian summer, so she's probably not in as good form as normal, but she definitely showed today that she's there. When she's got a number on her back, then she's still a good racer and she's still up there.
Do you really think that Loretta Hansen and Peter Mullins are genuine threats for you on Sunday?
I think I've heard that Peter's going to play more a support role for some of her other teammates. I think that like Sarah Gigante's there. She's a young rider who's really shown a lot of strength over the last few days. Loretta Hansen, she had a great race there last year. I think she was there with the front group until the final climb. So she is, if she's in good form, it's the kind of course that she can actually get through, depending how it's played out.
Let's take a look at the team. Lucy Kennedy, Grace Brown, Gracie Alvin, who's won twice before, Jessica Allen, who's shown great form, and Sarah Roy would be the first to concede it's not her favourite terrain. Take you out of it. If you were riding on your own for a different team, who from that Mitchelton Scott squad do you mark?
Yeah, that's a tough one, I think. Lucy Kennedy, for me, I think in the 2018 season, she really showed what she's capable of, and on those climbs as well. I think this is the kind of course, especially in the women's race, if it's raced hard, especially on that climb, then it can really splinter to pieces. And we saw that in 2017 when Kat Garfoot and I got away on the climb and we stayed away from sort of 40-50k to go. So for me, that's the kind of move that Lucy could do, and she could hold it all the way to the finish. And she's proven she's one of the best climbers in the world, and why not use that?
What about the two FDJ teammates, Lauren Kitchen, Shara Gillow?
Yeah, they'll be a competitive duo for sure. They showed last year as well. They were really strong. They were there in that final select group. And I think they both take January quite seriously, and I expect them both to be in good form. And it's a good combination actually too, because Shara, much more the climber, you can use her on the climbs. And then Lauren's really fast in the sprint. She could definitely take the title in a smaller group sprint.
And Chloe Hosking. We know she's a sprinter. She's said openly she doesn't like the course at Mount Buninyong, but I think her climbing is underrated.
Yeah, I think Chloe's the kind of rider, when she wants to get to that finish line, when she really wants to suffer, then she can. And she can get over those sort of shorter climbs and kill herself. And if, you know, I know she'd be there to make a point and try to get through that. And I think last year there was a front group of seven and she was in that group behind, which wasn't that far behind. So if it's raced a little bit easier and that, you know, that small group doesn't get away, then she can definitely be there.
Alex, if Chloe is there at Bell Lab, there'll be Sprat fireworks.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Another notable, Shannon Melseed, last year's winner. You said you rode with her at Bakeritz. What kind of condition is she in?
Yeah, I think she's in good condition. I think she showed last year. I mean, she's a local girl, Ballarat. Doesn't get much better than that, having your national championships here and winning the gold. And I think she's really highly motivated to do that again. She's got a teammate this year in Brody Chapman, so I think they'll be a really strong duo. Brody was really good in the criterium tonight as well. So I think Shannon, it's a home course. So I think when it's home course, you have your family, your friends there, you can kind of suffer that little bit more.
I'd be surprised if she was outside the top five.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're inside the top five, you can win.
Yeah.
Have you got a dark horse for us?
I have two actually that I'm really keeping a close eye on. One would be Justine Barrow from the Gusto Step Forward KOM team. I've seen her winning quite a few NRS races this year and by a considerable margin. I think she's a very strong climber, so she could be someone that we'll really have to watch on the climbs. The other one for me, the big one actually, would be Emily Roper. So she's from...
Emily's back.
I saw she won the Tour of Bright. She's been riding really strongly. One of my teammates told me on Strava she's been pumping out some solid times. She can climb. She has a really good sprint. I think she's a smart rider. For me, she's one of the big dark horse favourites.
In the under 23 category, she's won everything. The crit, the time trial, the road race. And she has been training the house down with her boyfriend, Troy Herfoss, who's the Australian superbike champion on motorbikes and was in the early breakaway in the elite men's race last year. And it's been the boyfriend-girlfriend challenge between those two as to who can get the numbers out training. She is a serious one to watch. That's a good pick, Spratty.
Yeah.
And from a team's perspective, it looks pretty good. It's not there's no super heavily stacked teams. There's some good numbers in each of the squads. So I think that'll make things interesting too.
What's your team meeting like before the race? Because you just said less pressure, but you are the team with the most pressure. Is that spoken about pre-race?
Yeah, always. We always say the fact that we do have a lot of pressure on us. I think we're a world tour team. We have six starters. All eyes are on us, really. If a break goes, then everyone will look to us and think, okay, are you happy with that? Are you not happy with that? Then we have to decide what we're going to do. So we know that, but I think we've handled it quite well in the last years as well. And it's not something that's hindered our performance. If anything, we just make sure we do all the little things better. We communicate. We make sure we really know what's going on when we're out there.
Gene Bates was looking after his team previously. Who's driving this tactics now?
Yeah, so we've got Martin Vespi. So in the 2018 season, he came on board to work alongside Gene. So they were both of them were at most of our races throughout that season. So it's not a new thing. He's just come out from Norway a few days ago. So I think he's a little jet lagged and probably a little bit of heat stroke, to be honest. But yeah, he's really driving the ship now. And he's the husband of Emmy Johansson, former number one in the world, silver medalist at World Championships. He's got a lot of DS experience and a very good tactical brain. So I think we're going to have a really good plan, I think, for the weekend.
How's that European touch going on the tactics and team structure?
I like it, actually. I think, yeah, we always say the Aussies can be a little bit more relaxed and a little bit maybe not so confrontational sometimes. We try to be a bit too nice, and sometimes it's nice to have that European touch come in. It's a little bit more direct, doesn't beat around the bush with anything, but sometimes I think that's a good thing for us, actually.
Can we talk about the men's race?
Yeah, I think it's time to talk about the men's race, which is straight after the females' race on Sunday. And the first thing you see on the start list of this one versus the women's is Mitchelton Scott.
Wow.
Down to rider number 10. And again, I guess they've got the same pressure as you guys, as they're the World Tour team. They're the strongest team. They're the team that's expected to win. But it's interesting in there's not a standout leader as previously.
Alex Edmondson, in as the defending champion, wasn't a favourite last year, still not a favourite this year. I want you to play the role of the DS, Spratty, with 10 riders from this squad. And further back down the list, you have Caleb Ewan, who's out there with just Adam Hansen as a teammate. You have Jay McCarthy without any teammates. Both of them pretty quick sprinters. Heinrich Hausler, a former winner. He's also a good sprinter. He doesn't have any teammates either. Mitchelton Scott, they don't have a sprinter capable of beating Caleb Ewan or Heinrich Hausler if it comes down to those guys being in the group with them. What's the strategy?
I think you need to use that early break opportunity. They've done that, I think, the previous years. Sometimes it works, sometimes it hasn't. But when I look at the Mitchelton Scott team, I still see fast riders that can win from that reduced bunch sprint. Edmondson's quick, Cameron Meyer as well, Nicholas Schultz, Robert Stannard. These are all riders that could get to the finish of a long breakaway and finish it off. So for me, that would be the best way to put pressure on Caleb Ewan, Jay McCarthy, those individual riders that are really strong that could take the win.
I think because of the lack of a real standout sprinter and an obvious leader from the Mitchelton Scott team, we will potentially see the most aggressive edition of the Road National Championships in the history of it being in Ballarat.
And I guess a bit of a scary thought for the likes of Jay McCarthy, Caleb Ewan, Nathan Haas, who've got that one or two teammates there, but it's like, oh, like I'm literally just hoping for the best here, that luck plays in my favour, or for Caleb's sake, that it comes down to something that's of some kind of control, that he can get his way around those early laps in half-decent condition and then do what he does best.
Well, like Shannon Mulseed, Caleb skipped the criterium to focus on the road race, which we might just add, Brenton Jones finally managed to win the criterium title. And I think everybody at the finish today was pretty happy for him. Thumbs up from you.
Yeah, that was so great to see. I think so much emotion into that win. And when you know he's come second so many times, fabulous.
So back to Caleb. Alex, you know him better than any of us. You rode with him in the Australian under 23 squad for a number of years. Is he capable of winning? He's been second here before.
100% he's capable of winning. I think it's just things have just got to go right. He's everyone there will know what he's capable of, and the climb's tough, and it's tough after the amount of laps that they do, but he's not one of the best sprinters in the world for no reason, and he'll definitely be able to drag his way around that course if things go, I guess, to his and Adam Hansen's plan. There's a lot of good part-time sprinters in the Mitchelton Scott squad, which if they do get to the finish would probably put their hand up for a win in a reduced bunch kick without Caleb Ewan and without Heinrich Hausler and without Jay McCarthy.
Okay, so some other contenders, James Whelan.
I guess he's in the boat of depends where he's at for the year. If he's going, I'm just going to start my, he's a professional Neo Pro. If he's going to start off with a bang and he's targeting road gnats, or it's a little bit more relaxed, we're going to settle into the pro season a bit later on, because he's going to have to go from long range. He can't win from bunch kick. Can't win from a bunch kick of many. So he's a genuine long range contender. But I like the likes of Edmo, Nicholas Schultz, with his first start on Mitchelton Scott, will be looking for some, will be looking to impress. And they both possess that trait of being able to out-sprint a small group of riders.
Spratty, did you watch the men's criterium tonight at all?
I did, actually. My brother Nick Spratt was in there, so I was quickly showered and out there to cheer him on.
I was going to ask you about 101. Nick
Number
Spratt,
101.
The Spratt Cup.
14th in the criterium. I think I was 17th, so he's one up on
he's
me already. Yeah.
Should be a points classification between the two of you. Who impressed me tonight in terms of looking to Sunday and the road race? Chris Hamilton. riding for the Sunweb team. He's got a couple of good teammates there with him, Jai Hindley and Michael Storer. Not sure how well they're going to be able to work together because all three of them have got really similar qualities and weapons. It's hard to work out which one would win. Hamilton's the quickest sprinter out of those three, but then who is he away with? They're going to have to be aggressive, all three of them.
Yeah, definitely. And they're going to have to be marking those Mitchelton Scott riders, and they see their move. They're going to have to make sure they're in there.
Heinrich Hausler is confident. When he was riding around, warming up before one of the stages of the Baycrits just recently, as you know, is Heinrich's way of letting everybody know that he's here and he's ready to race. He was strutting around, putting his hands across his chest and making the symbol of the Australian bands, because he's won before, and just saying, "Sunday, boys, Sunday." He can win. He's in fantastic form. For him to be riding as explosively as he was in one-hour races for the 3 days of the Baycrits, that's not normal for a guy that is, you know, second at Milan-San Remo, almost 300 kilometres. He is here to win.
Yeah,
and he can do
it. It's exciting to see too. He hasn't had the best couple of seasons either, so it's good to see him back in that shape actually. And he's won it before. He knows what it feels like and how to do it.
Dare to make a prediction, Alex, on who's going to win?
No. I'll give you my top three. Caleb's going to win.
Caleb, yeah, okay.
Jay McCarthy's going to come second. And Edmo's going to run a drum for third.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, I think Spratty in the women's race, you're the one to beat.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's you and Lucy Kennedy on the podium together. And I like the idea of Emily Roper getting up there in amongst it. Shannon Molseed will go close to medaling again. Brody Chapman looks very good.
Yeah, she looks impressive really good in the criterium. Yeah. Able to repeat those attacks, and she's fit.
Yeah, I think the hill will sort Peter Mullins out. I don't think she's quite in the same form as she was when she won.
Yeah, and I think we saw that in the first Baycrit when I was away with her, and certainly that hill was what killed her. So I think she's got the good flatland power at the moment, but the hill is going to be the struggle for her.
And I think the elite men's road race, Alex, is going to be blown to smithereens, and they'll be coming in ones and twos. And I like the idea of Caleb winning. I think he will be right in the mix. And I think we'll see the likes of him, Heinrich Hausler, Jay McCarthy, James Whelan inside the top five. And I'm not sure who it will be from Mitchelton Scott. I'm not sure. Cameron Meyer is always so reliable, but I don't know where his form is at. Luke Durbridge looks good, but not quite at his best, as he's looking forward to April and the Spring Classics. Matthew Heyman, the climb is too big for him. Alex Edmondson, he showed himself last year. Lucas Hamilton, how's he going?
Well, Lucas is in the TDU squad. So he's in, and he's not just in any TDU squad, he's in the Mitchelton Scott TDU squad. So he's put a bit of pressure on himself the last few weeks, and I know he's been knuckling down. And Edmo's been at Bright by himself on some mad training camp. So,
okay, so yeah. I'd like to visit that again and say, I've got no idea.
I think I'm almost on the same page.
Yeah.
But isn't that the beauty of it?
And I like that this year. It's not, all right, Mitchelton's got to line this out for Gero.
Mm.
Caleb.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. And who would have picked that breakaway of two last year with Edmondson and Harper? I'd never would have picked
And then it. And then you've got all the NRS teams, which are obviously going to throw it down, who are very good riders. As you said, Chris Harper's in the race too.
Yeah. Dylan Sunderland, he'll be really good. Lionel Mordet will ride well. Freddie Ovett, he'll be riding strongly. It's a really tough one to pick. I can't wait. This is going to be fun.
Some other riders that we probably need to touch on. There's a lot of riders, but a few that we haven't talked about yet. Nathan Haas.
Yes. On his own from Katusha.
Josh said in his Road Nationals preview that Nathan Haas is his favourite. So,
yep, he can win.
And it is a course, I guess, for him, as it is Jay McCarthy, as it is Heinrich Hausler. Those quick guys that can climb.
And Miles Scottson, who has won before, riding the new colours of Group Armour FDJ. And also the Western Australian, Ben O'Connor, who I think can potentially be Australia's next Grand Tour winner.
Yeah, he definitely showed that form in Europe in the 2018 season.
So how good was he at the Giro?
Yeah, it's going to be amazing to see what he can do this season and also at Roadnats.
He'll be super motivated. That climb suits him, and he's another one that will try to make it really hard to get away from the fast guys that we spoke of. So I'm further confused as to who's going to win.
And I guess for Miles too, is strong as an ox all the time, no matter what kind of form he's in. And he's got his new squad, something to prove. Would the French know the Nationals are on?
They will, because that team that he rides for, owned and managed by the Matteo brothers, they love national champions jerseys. They don't put a single logo on the jersey and they make a big statement about it. It's just a small logo on the Knicks. They love national championships.
And he's come off a pretty rough year with BMC after winning the Nationals to kick off his career, and contract. So I think there's something for him in there too.
Definitely. And I think already at the Bay Crits, he showed he's in good form. He rode pretty aggressively there and looked strong. Don't forget number 101, Nick Spratt.
Nick Spratt is my dark horse for a top 10.
How old is Nick Spratt?
Nick Spratt is 29 years old.
Tell us about his story, why he's been away from the sport for so long.
Yeah, so he was a very top junior rider through under-15s, under-17s, winning Australian titles. I'm pretty confident he would have gone on to be a pro overseas. He got struck down with glandular fever, Ross River fever, chronic fatigue, which ended up getting Lyme's disease as well. So
he got the quaddy, not just
yeah,
the...
So he's been not very well for a long time and sort of battling through, tried to make a few comebacks on the bike and just sort of, just had fatigue basically. And it's only been in the last sort of 1-2 years he's really been able to start getting out there and riding again. So it's been great. The whole family's been down here this weekend and I think we're almost all in tears watching him race today in the crit.
He's only 29 years of age?
29, yeah.
29. Lookout, National Road Series 2019.
Yeah, I think he's already pumped for that.
Anything else to add?
No, I think both the races are going to be brilliant. I don't think there is anyone standout in the men's. Spratty, unfortunately, all the pressure's on you. You are the standout in the women's race. But that doesn't come as any surprise. The men's race, I am really looking forward to seeing how Mitchelton Scott can get the most of it with 10 riders in the race. Previously, they've tried to control it and let Simon Gerrans take care of business at the end. This time, with fast finishers like McCarthy, Hausler, Caleb Ewan in the mix, they need to blow it apart, not control it. This is going to be a great race.
Thanks, Brady.
Good luck on
Sunday. And thanks, Matt, for joining us.
My pleasure.
We'll be listening to you on Sunday too.
You will, on SBS.
Thanks to Matt for all their support, and we'll see you back at the Social Club next time.